Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. We proclaim truth in the public square by connecting a biblical worldview and constitutional principles to the most significant news of the day. Simple, careful, and truthful. That's Stand in the Gap Today. Now, here's your host.
Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Gary Dahl, and along with me is the Honorable Sam Rohr. And, of course, today we have what I believe to be a very interesting and serious subject for us all to consider. The theme of today's program is simply this, bringing justice back into the law. And, at first sound, that may seem like a contradictory statement to you, but the problem these days is that on many occasions, the law is forgotten and justice is denied. Now, without looking too hard, we can find many illustrations of that these days in the news, and that's a sad thing, but nevertheless, it's true. For instance, a few years ago, I was watching a newscast on a national network where a very liberal state governor was being interviewed about a particular matter, and I don't recall exactly what the matter was right now, but the reporter said to him, "What does the Constitution say about what you're going to do?" Now, to my dismay, and I'm certain to the dismay of many people across the nation who heard his response, he said this, and this is a direct quote, "We never really thought of the Constitution." In other words, they were going to do something in that particular state, but never took into consideration what the Constitution of the United States said. And I thought that that was quite serious. And yet we find that today there are many people in office on various levels who really don't abide by the Constitution. Well, in my first pastorate in Washington, D.C., and I know this goes back a few years, but it sets an example nevertheless. We had a policeman in our church that got fired because of what was called police brutality. Now, this fellow knew and he loved the Lord, and he really had a 30-year impeccable record with the D.C. Police Department. But he got involved in a matter of brutality. You'll say, what happened? Well, the part of the city in which he served was the southeast section of Washington, D.C., located right around the Capitol building, which at that time, by the way, was very much crime-infested. Over and over again, my church member and friend arrested criminals who were very guilty of breaking the law. But when they were taken to court, the judge would either throw out the case or give some sort of a reduced sentence. In other words, there was no real justice carried out by the court when the law was broken. And this became very frustrating to my police brother. So, out of frustration, he got to the point, along with some other police individuals, by the way, they got to the point where they began to take the law into their own hands and render personal justice on the criminals right there on the street. Now, my friend admitted to me many times over again that what he did was wrong and was not true justice, but he also knew that when the criminal went to the court, justice would not be given there as well, particularly according to the law. Now, certainly we don't justify what my police friend did. And, of course, afterwards he felt guilty of it and was dealing with it as well. But nevertheless, that's what took place. Now, the fact of the matter is we are now living in a time when it's very difficult for police across America to protect and serve as they are called to do simply because of the negative attitude that is against them. There are people on the street and in government who seemingly want to defund police forces, and I know that you're aware of that. And even in some cases, they want to do away with the police altogether. Now, the thought of that doesn't make sense to a sensible-minded person because it would lead to more and more open lawlessness and crime in our communities. But the thought process of some liberal progressives in America today is outlandish and ridiculous because in reality they have no moral guide themselves, having denied the truth of the Word of God in so many ways. Now, all across America today, it's becoming more and more difficult for police departments to fill their forces with qualified personnel because fewer and fewer people desire to become involved with law enforcement. One reason for this is because they fear that they would be prevented from doing their jobs by the higher-ups in the department or the city or the municipal government, whatever the case may be. Now, another reason for this, though, is because there is such a negative attitude toward the police across America that from the time they put on their uniform to go to work, they know that they may become bullseyes for many in the community who would like to harm them or even kill them. And again, this is a very sad and serious situation. Now, I want to be clear at this point and say that I know that there have always been corrupt cops, and there always will be corrupt cops. But most of them that we know are above board and are doing a very good job in law enforcement. Well, today we're going to be talking about what happens when justice does not support the law and what must be done to right the wrong. And along with Sam and me today are two men who will help us in this discussion. One fellow is a dear friend of ours, Pastor Denny Melanie, who serves the Faith Baptist Church of Beaver Springs, Pennsylvania. And then we also have with us the Honorable Fred Keller, who serves in the United States Congress, representing the 12th Congressional District from Pennsylvania. And we're delighted to have both of these men on with us, and Congressman Keller particularly, we are delighted to have you with us. And before we get involved in the program, I just want to personally express my appreciation to you for all that you're doing for truth and justice in America. From my perspective, you served in the Pennsylvania General Assembly with distinction for a number of years, and now you're serving in the same way in the United States Congress. I hear so many good reports about you, and I've had the opportunity to meet you several times there at the Brother Denny's Church in Beavertown. I just want to welcome you to stand in the gap today and thank you for all that you're doing for truth and justice in America there in the United States Congress. Welcome to Stand in the Gap, Fred.
Thank you. Pleasure
Thank
to be
you.
With you today.
And, you know, no matter who I talk to who knows about you, Fred, they say he's a good guy. I was just talking to G.T. Thompson the other day, and he said we can't do without men like Fred Keller in Congress. So it certainly is a delight to have you with us. And, Brother Denny, it's a delight to have you back with us as well. Thanks for making this work out for us today.
Hey, good to be here.
And I think this is a very serious subject, and I know, Sam, that you've been involved with this down through the years since you served in the United States House, and we're going to be talking about that after this particular break. But it must be frustrating to you as well as one who's tried to stand for truth and justice in Pennsylvania to see what's happening across the country.
Well, Gary, you are correct, because when you talk about government, it brings you right smack to the items that you've identified here for today. Truth and justice and equity, those and law. All of these things are connected, and when you let out any piece of that equation, then you have injustice, and of course that's our great concern today. We want justice, not injustice. So, anxious to talk about all of these things today on the program.
And indeed we are. Folks, we're going to take a break, but when we return, we are going to be talking with Congressman Keller, because he's involved in what I say, bringing justice back into the law with what is known as Eric's Law. What's that all about? We'll talk about it right after this break. So please stay tuned.
Do you long to make an impact for the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God? Do you want to wisely steward the wealth God has given you? We at Capstone are dedicated to supporting you in your goals to do just that. Hello, I'm Nancy Hansen, founder and president of Capstone Legacy Foundation, located in Wayne, PA. For decades, my family and I have been donors, funding Christian ministries and services, doing all we can to further the cause of Christian stewardship and ministry. I am committed personally to helping you, your family, your business, or your ministry, just like we've been glad to do with our support of the American Pastors Network and our sponsorship of the Stand in the Gap program. So before you start a foundation, launch a ministry, or plan your giving, consult those whose only mission is to serve you. Call Capstone Legacy Foundation at 610-688-8890. or visit us at capstonelegacy.org.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
What does the evidence say? This is Ken Ham inviting you to have an encounter with God's Word at the Ark Encounter. We often hear the claim that all fields of science support evolutionary ideas. But if you go back a few hundred years, almost all scientists believed the evidence supported creationist ideas. So what changed? Well, it wasn't the evidence that changed. It was how the evidence was interpreted that changed. You see, most scientists stopped interpreting the evidence in the light of God's word and started relying on man's ideas. Evolutionists don't have their own evidence and then creationists have their own set. We both have the same world to study. We just interpret evidence differently, and it's because of different starting points, God's word or man's word.
There's so much more to discover when you visit our website at AnswersRadio.com. Listen to this program again, view a transcript, or share this with others at AnswersRadio.com.
Here's Twyla Braze with today's Health Freedom Minute.
Where are the governors? Hundreds of colleges are planning to require the COVID-19 injection to get an education. Businesses are planning to require vaccinations for employees, making them choose between a livelihood and an investigational drug that has caused death and injury and is still in clinical trials. School children are next. A dangerous new standard is being set in America, and it's not an American standard. It's a big government, big education, big business standard. If we the people can be forced to comply with this mandate, we'll soon be forced to comply with other mandates for safety and health purposes. It will set an anti-freedom precedent. Even those who took the COVID-19 injection without incident should be very concerned. Call your governor today and ask for a ban on vaccine mandates and passports.
Help us secure health freedom for all. Visit cchfreedom.org. That's cchfreedom.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today. We are delighted to have you there with us. And today we are talking about bringing justice back into the law. And in doing so, we want to discuss with Congressman Fred Keller what is called Eric's Law and why he's reintroducing it. And I think you'll understand how significant it is as we go forward. But Sam, before we actually begin to talk to Congressman Keller, I want to start this segment by asking you a simple question, and that is this. You've served nearly 20 years in the Pennsylvania General Assembly, as did Congressman Keller. In those years, and now that you've been involved with APN, have you observed how it seems that justice and law and truth, I might add, are becoming more and more separated?
Gary, I am, and I think this is a—I think it's a great question to lay the foundation here, because I said on the other side when we talk about justice, and I think I'll define that. But you know, what is justice? What is truth? What is the law? I think, Gary, and I'll just lay it out here. I think the problem has become is that the average person. And I'm going to say the average person who deals with the law, the citizen who has to say, what is the law and do I obey it or how do I respond to it? The police officer, the executive branch, the governor who is there to enforce the law, the court who's there to adjudicate or decide matters that come up of questions regarding the law. and the legislature who have the responsibility of making the law. Here's what I'm going to say. I really believe that if you ask any of them, most any of them right now in those positions could not tell you or define truth or law, or even when it comes to enforcement, what does that mean and how these things relate? But they actually are. They are like legs on a stool. There is a relationship that God has established between all of these. But if you don't know how they interact, then those individual, we call them the three branches of government, don't know how that they are to interact with each other. And I think, Gary, today, much of the great confusion that's going on is that the executive branch has forgotten what the executive branch, or can't even tell you what they really are supposed to do in regard to the law. And the legislature, by and large, I think, has been turning over a lot of their duty to the court or to the executive branch. And the court has become more happy than not to say, well, you know what, I can actually make law too by what I do. And they've stepped into the realm of the legislature. I think the confusion that has evidenced itself is probably at the heart of why we look now and say, where is justice? It's because those who are involved in the process really don't even know what they're supposed to do, or certainly God's standard for having set it up.
And that's very unfortunate, because when we have people in government who don't understand or even know what truth and justice and law is all about, and they're trying to lead our nation, that not only leads down the road to confusion, but it also leads down the road to corruption. And that's why we have Fred Keller on with us today. And Denny, you've known Fred for a long time, and of course you've been involved with him down through the years. He participates in some of the programs there around your church. Just share with us, with our listeners, very, very briefly, what you know about Fred and why it's good that he is one who is in the United States Congress today. Very briefly, please.
Okay, we are very blessed to have Fred Keller represent us here in the 12th Congressional District. I've known Fred, like you said, for some time, and he stands for truth. He stands for the principles of our founding fathers. He is a born-again believer. He maintains a biblical worldview. Most people probably aren't aware of this, but Fred grew up in extreme poverty. He really did. And he has worked hard for what he has. That same work ethic has been manifested in his dedicated service to us, his constituents here in the 12th Congressional District, and, of course, to our country. He puts the Lord first in every area of his life, and then, of course, us and himself last. That's the principles in which he operates. We need more like him. And his heart is to serve the Lord and to serve his country and to serve his people, and we're so thankful for him.
And that's one of the reasons why we have him on today, and that's one of the reasons why he has a tremendous reputation among others who know the Lord or at least have a respect for God, even in Washington, D.C. And beyond. But Congressman Keller, again, as I said, we are delighted to have you with us, and you are reintroducing what is known as Eric's Law, and that simply means that Eric's Law really is not new, but it's something that you're trying to get back into the forefront of Congress. And I'm just wondering if you would share with our people the history of Eric's Law and the current status of the law and why you are bringing it back into light right now.
Well, thanks again for having me. And, you know, I just really appreciate the opportunity to discuss what's happening and what the work that that's being done on behalf of the people of PA's 12th Congressional District and through that, all Americans. Eric's Law is a law that was first introduced by former Congressman Tom Marino, my predecessor, and one really great individual. But what Eric's Law is, it deals with the history of it is named after Eric. And Eric was a corrections officer who put on his uniform, went to work, and did not come home. He was attacked by an inmate that was serving a life sentence. And he was stabbed 200 times. And the inmate was found guilty of the crime he had committed. And on the sentencing, because one juror didn't want to agree with the rest of them on sentencing, did not receive any additional punishment. So there was no justice for the for Eric's family, for the victim's family. No consequences for what that individual had done to Eric. You know, the legislation that we have out here, Eric's Law, is supported by the Bureau of Prisons Corrections Officers Union. It's supported by Eric's family. And it's just something that we need to understand, that for a person's actions, there need to be consequences and there needs to be justice for the victim's family. And in this case, it would be this would allow a second jury to be impaneled when you have so for sentencing purposes only, not for the thing. We're talking about somebody that had already been convicted, but on the sentencing, you had one juror that didn't want to go along with the death penalty. Therefore, there were no additional consequences for this individual. Therefore, it would allow a second jury to be impaneled just for sentencing. Mm. And I think it's really important to make sure that we're protecting those and we're supporting the law enforcement. As mentioned earlier, many people in law enforcement don't feel that sometimes the government that they support, the laws that they enforce, they don't feel that some of the people in government have their backs, and we do. And, you know, I look, when I'm around the communities, and certainly we here in PA-12 respect and honor the outstanding individuals that are willing to make that sacrifice, to put on that uniform, whether it's to serve in the military and defend us from tyranny and help other people around the globe, whether it's the law enforcement officers that are out on the beat in the patrol cars doing that work, people keeping us safe from, people in prisons, you know, doing that job. You know, we respect the job they do and honor the work they do.
And Congressman Keller, I just want to ask you a question here because we have a little bit left time. You're describing a joint commitment. You are the legislative branch. That's where I served also in Pennsylvania along with you. The making of the law, you're talking about police officers, we're talking about the enforcement of the law, but you're actually describing a relationship that must exist between the both of them. And you and I both know that the purpose of government biblically is to praise those, encourage those who do well, who keep the law, and to punish those, bring justice to those who break the law. Now, here's my question here. You know that, I know that. Most of the people listening to the program right now would say, yeah, we understand that principle. But here is my question to you. You are in Congress now. You are in a Nancy Pelosi-controlled House. There, not everybody has the same opinion of what is justice. This law right now, as you're reintroducing it, what do you believe to be the future of that? Are you having and finding support, or are you really in there, you know, slugging an uphill battle in regard to what seems simple to us but may not seem so simple to other people?
Well, the first thing I will say is that Nancy Pelosi is controlling the House, and we're optimistic that that's only going to be till the end of this session, when we then have a new speaker, Kevin McCarthy. But there are people that don't hold the same regard and respect for law enforcement. And it's unfortunate in the United States of America that happens. Is this going to be easy? No, it's not going to be an easy task. We are finding support. We do have co-sponsors on the bill. We're continuing to work on that. But what we need to do is, as I learned a very, very long time ago, things that are worth doing are oftentimes difficult.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And, of course, we know that this is a difficult situation in which you are involved right now. We're going to pray that the Lord gives you the strength to follow through with it. Folks, we've got to take a break, but when we return, we're going to launch into a more general, but I believe a very necessary discussion on what's taking place in law enforcement in America today that should be a great concern for all of us. So don't go away. We will be back right after these messages.
When you tune in to Stand in the Gap today, you'll hear relevant, applicable information to help you better understand the cultural issues of our time. The biased liberal media narrative confuses and distorts the truth, but our hosts and guests provide focused analysis by combining personal experience with wisdom taken from God's Word. One of our frequent guests, George Barna, had this to say.
We know from the research that I've been doing that churches are not terribly interested these days in helping people understand and know how to think biblically about the issues and the conditions and situations that we face. And so that's one of the things that I love about being on your show is that I know every time I go on, it's not just going to be an exercise. We're trying to push people closer to biblical truth. And that's worth getting out of bed in the morning for.
Tune in to Stand in the Gap today by visiting our website at standinthegapmedia.org. That's standinthegapmedia.org.
This is Tim Barton from Wall Builders with another moment from American history. The Second Amendment to the Constitution, which guarantees to every individual the right to keep and bear arms, has been targeted for years now by those who are determined to dismantle the individual right to self-protection. Opponents argue that only the militia, the military, and law enforcement are to have and use firearms. But those who wrote the Second Amendment strenuously disagreed, including Founding Father Richard Henry Lee, a signer of the Declaration, a president of the Continental Congress, and one of those who actually framed the Second Amendment. He declared, "To preserve liberty, it is essential that the whole body of the people always possess arms and be taught alike, especially when young, how to use them." For more information about Richard Henry Lee and the history of the Second Amendment, go to wallbuilders.com.
Malta really is beautiful, and I've never been there. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. Malta's been called the most beautiful country in Europe, if not the world. Now, that's clearly a subjective opinion, but here's something that's not. Malta is the safest place in Europe to be an unborn child. 98% Roman Catholic, Malta's the only European country to prohibit abortion, except in cases of ectopic pregnancies. Recently, when a member of Malta's parliament introduced a bill to decriminalize abortion, the reaction was swift and fierce. Malta's Life Network said they were shocked beyond belief at the idea. A leader from the Labour Party told the bill's sponsor to get stuffed and then said no to abortion. And that's the center-left party. Malta's president declared he'd never sign a bill that involves the authorization of murder and would have no problem resigning instead. Pristine beaches, 300 days of sun, even center-left politicians unapologetically defending the sanctity of life? Maybe Malta is Europe's most beautiful nation. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Well, thank you, folks, for staying by the radio there or by whatever device upon which you're listening to the program. We certainly do thank the Lord for your presence, and we are very, very thankful for the pleasure of your company today as we talk about this very significant subject of bringing justice back into the law. But before we continue the discussion, I just want to encourage you to continue to pray for us here at Stand in the Gap today and the American Pastors Network. I think that if you listen to us on a regular basis, you know that we do everything that we possibly can to bring current issues to you in light of the Constitution and the Word of God. We believe in the biblical worldview, which simply speaking means looking at everything through the eyes of the Scripture. In other words, what does the Bible say? And the Bible has something to say about every situation we face, whether it is by divine principle or direct command. And so as we deal with the subjects on this particular program, we try to bring them to you in light of what the Word of God says. And so we would encourage you to continue to pray for us here, particularly why we would ask you, if you would, to support us financially. We're very, very thankful for the fact that some of you have recently been sending in some donations. And as we are going into the summertime, this is a very significant time for you to consider supporting us financially, because many people go on vacation, and consequently, giving to a ministry like this is something that's not too often considered. So we do need your prayers. Certainly we need your prayers. Those are the most important things. But beyond that, your financial support will go a long way as well. And then tell others about the program, because we believe that we have a message to get out. And we are heard in every state of the United States of America. We'd like to be heard by every person in the United States of America. And through your prayers and support and encouraging others to listen, I think that we'll be able to reach more and more every day. So thank you once again for being there. Sam, as we continue our discussion here today, I'd like for you, if you would please, to take some time to discuss and lead us in a discussion or describe the difference between law and justice and why it is, at least from the biblical perspective, which is the most important perspective, why it is that those two must work together if we are going to have any kind of order in society.
Gary, we could spend a long time on this. I'll try my best to keep this just within a couple of minutes. But it is really important. As you know, we talked about before, if you don't know the relationship and the terms, what the definitions are of key words, in this case, law, justice, and so forth, then it's impossible to actually do it. And one verse I thought of that I'll just bounce off of here to begin with, this is Isaiah 59:14. It says, justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the public squares and uprightness cannot enter. I think of that verse when I think about the elements, law, justice, righteousness, judgment, and it's working together. And I think of it in the context of the verse from Isaiah 33:22. And that is it's one that puts it all together. And this is how that verse goes. That verse says, for the Lord is our judge. That's the judicial branch. Okay? And it says, the Lord is our lawgiver. Now, that's the legislative branch. And it says, the Lord is our king. That's royalty. That is the executive branch. So in that one verse, and this is really important, I think, for people to understand, the three aspects of government always will have those three elements: the maker of the law, the enforcer of the law, and the adjudicator, the decision maker of when something comes up. But there is only one place, one person, where all three of these can legitimately agree, come together, and that is God Himself. Only God Himself can be in one person, the perfect lawgiver, the perfect judge, and the perfect enforcer, the king. And that's important to understand. Our founders understood that only one person could do that legitimately, and that was God Himself. And so they understood that when it comes to civil authority, government as we would call it, you had to take those functions and split them up, the three branches of government. And you had to put between them certain walls, certain partitions, and the three branches work together, because you cannot have just a government unless you have all three of them, but they all have to work together in agreement. And I can keep going on, but I'm going to stop at this. The agreement is that the lawgiver, the maker of the law, which is where it starts, you can't have an enforcement or an adjudication from the court unless you first have a law. But you can't have justice, meaning impartiality and a consistent application of that, unless you have good law. And good law is only that which agrees with God's word, God's holy word, moral law. Unless you start there, you cannot ever have a judge make a right determination. It may come out, but it won't happen consistently. And unless it starts there, you will not have a proper enforcement. And as I think we see in today's government, the executive branch rushes in. If they could, they would make the law. And I think what we're seeing under the COVID days, the suspension of law by the executive branches of the governor, and starting right out of Washington, what do they do when they suspend the law? It allows them to make the law, legislature, and also allows them to interpret the law, judiciary. But the judiciary, we also know, unrestrained by God's definition, will seek to make law from the bench. And, of course, we know that that happens. And unfortunately, Gary, what I'm seeing happening for so long is that the legislative branch, those who are there, the check and the balance to keep things in place, are very, very easy and don't mind actually giving up their authority and actually letting the governor or the president or the bureaucracy make the dictates, and then they'll argue with them and they'll blame things on them or give it up to the court. God's plan is there for a very reason. They have to be kept separate, but it's only in one person where they're put together. And that's how we go and where we go to find out how it should be done, and then we try to model it as best as we can.
Well, that's good. That's good, and I appreciate that. And I want to go to Fred now. And Fred, we see a lot in the news today about how many of the liberal progressives really have a negative attitude towards the police on the streets these days when it comes to law and justice. But what is the attitude of those with whom you work with and serve with there in Congress in Washington, D.C., in light of what Sam was just talking about? Do you think that, by and large, there is a proper understanding of law and justice in Congress, or is it something that you personally have to fight on a consistent basis as you're trying to represent truth, and particularly the truth of God's Word?
Well, I would say that when we look at the people that serve in Washington, it is, you know, we're always talking about how we the Congress, we the legislative branch, should be the people making the laws. And the executive branch is there, of course, to carry out the laws, and the judicial branch to interpret the laws, but interpret whether the law is constitutional. And that's really where I think things get messed up, because you got the courts that make case law. Well, case law to me is them making law, which you're not supposed to do. They don't interpret the Constitution. They interpret whether a law is constitutional, which I think is an important distinction that everybody should be aware of, and I think many people are, and a lot more people are paying attention to it. I'll just go back to, you know, a couple of weeks ago was law enforcement, you know, recognizing Law Enforcement Week, and the leader McCarthy led a group of my colleagues on a bicycle ride in Washington, D.C. with the Capitol Police and some other law enforcement folks. And we all met at the Law Enforcement Memorial in Washington, D.C. What was sad to see was it was all Republicans that were there. And I'm not trying to make this political or anything else. That's just the way it was. And the other thing that is sort of troubling to me is before our current vice president was elected to office, she helped set up a bail fund for people that were rioting in Minnesota. So I'm not gonna try and get into minds and say, you know, what people think. I'm just gonna say these are the actions, and let that be the example of where we are today, when we look at people that are tasked with serving the public, serving the Lord, and what they're tasked with, and how they've behaved on certain circumstances. Because I always look at, you know, past behavior is an excellent indicator of future performance. So I look at that. Those are things that have actually happened. None of it's disputed. That's the way it was. So we need to make sure that we are standing up for truth. We are standing up for those who are doing it correctly, which is almost the vast majority. I mean, I think it was mentioned earlier in the program. There are some people that don't do it right, but that's not. But that's all professionals. It doesn't matter what you're looking at, whether it's law enforcement, doctors, attorneys.
All right, I'm just going to jump in here right now, Fred, because we're about out of time for this particular segment. But folks, when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about law and justice, what we can do to bring it back into our country. Stay tuned.
For years, faithful Christians formed nonprofit foundations or trusts to preserve their ability to generously give to their favorite causes or ministries, even after their death. The problem? Professional managers, pressure from left-wing agendas, and even family members with opposing views hijacked the original donor intent. This is sad, but true. But this subversion of purpose can be prevented. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, and I'm glad to recommend Capstone Legacy Foundation in Wayne, Pennsylvania, an experienced and capable Christian community foundation. Established to help you set up a ministry, a giving structure guaranteed not to be hijacked, or a place you can donate cash or non-cash assets like stocks, bonds, or property, Capstone's designed to help you achieve immediate tax savings and give you needed time to decide how to prayerfully allocate your giving. Contact Capstone at 610-688-8890 or visit them at capstonelegacy.org.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God and His works. They create critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions ensure instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and create new solutions. That's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Faithful listeners to Stand in the Gap Today and guests alike appreciate the regular focus on truth and the analysis of the news from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Here's a comment from Dr. Alex McFarland, speaker, author, apologist, and founder of the ministry Truth for a New Generation.
By the way, let me say how much I appreciate, Sam, what you all do in the American Pastors Network. And folks, I have pastored two churches and spoken in 2000. And I just want to encourage everybody to pray for what Sam and his staff are doing and to support and be involved. And frankly, I'm just applauding you. I follow your trajectory, Sam, and the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled that God has raised you up at this time.
Thank you, Dr. McFarland. You and our other great guests helped to make Stand in the Gap Today a leading voice in the faithful communication of truth all across America. May God use all of us together to stand in the gap for truth.
This week we're commemorating true heroes, the kind we need today. From the time I was young, Daniel, the politician and prophet, was my hero. Kidnapped, orphaned, sexually abused, and relocated to a foreign, idolatrous nation, Daniel stood the test of character by purposing in his heart to trust God, even as a boy. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and another Stand in the Gap Minute. True heroes are great because they trust in God. For Daniel, God gave him great wisdom and understanding. Exalted to vice president of Babylon, he served powerful kings. His colleagues tried to destroy him, but found him blameless. Though his godly life made him a target, and even in his old age ended him in a lion's den, Daniel served God faithfully and trusted God implicitly. He was unwavering in his trust, a true hero. Now, how about you? Would you join us at Stand in the Gap Radio and TV, Walk by Faith and Trust in God? Visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today. For more information, visit our website at StandInTheGapRadio.com.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, certainly this has been what I believe to be a very significant program, because we've been talking about a matter of great need, and that is how law and justice seemingly do not effectively work together in America these days. And of course, I would just like to say, and we dealt with this earlier, particularly in some of the things that Sam has said, that one of the reasons why law and justice are not working together is, number one, people don't understand the system of government that our founders have laid out for us in the Constitution. And then secondly, we have people in government who have no concept of truth, and therefore they have no moral guidance And so they make decisions sometimes off the cuff, as it were, and many of those decisions are not decisions based upon law, justice, and truth. So, Sam, the question that I want to ask you here as we come into this last segment and begin to wrap it up and try to come to a solution is, how did we get to the place in America today where law and justice have seemingly been separated down through the last several years, particularly? I mean, we've gone away from law, we've gone away from justice, we've gone away from truth. How in the world did we get here?
Gary, in simple terms, as we talk about so much, this really is a world view. And as I laid out, the concept that God is lawgiver, God is judge, God is king, the enforcer, that is purely a biblical worldview concept. If we believe that God is the author of truth, therefore the lawgiver, and God is the perfect judge of the universe, that's what our founders in the Declaration of Independence appealed to, who, the great judge of the universe, to hear the rectitude of the case. They recognized God's judge role, but they also recognized that God overall is the sovereign God. He's king. And if we understand authority, everybody underneath of that will ultimately give an account to the king, and Jesus, as God has given that authority to Jesus Christ ultimately, and we know that in Scripture. We don't have time to go into that, but we do know that everybody, the individual, mom and dad, child, church leadership, everybody in levels of government, whatever that may is, will all give an account ultimately to God, because he is the one who sits at the top. That concept is what our founders understood. When we approach law and living and all of that with that perspective, Gary, then you have the kind of law system that we used to have. But I believe as we've thrown God out of the public square and said truth will be whatever we want to make it to be, then you have what it is right now, and it's that verse I read from Isaiah 59:14. Judgment's turned away backward. Justice stands afar off, for truth has stumbled in the public squares. And uprightness, God's view to all of this, cannot enter. We actually shut the door on God. And that, I think, Gary, in simple terms, that is what happened.
And when that happens, of course, we know that where do you go? Because there are no standards, there are no moral guidelines, and everybody does that which is right in their own mind and in their own thinking. And Fred, as a Christian who's been called by God into government, and by the way, that's a very high calling. Romans 13 says that you are a minister of God to stand for that which is good in the eyes of God and stand against that which is error and evil in the eyes of God. And so you have a high calling. But what do you think needs to be done on every level of government today to bring law and justice, and I'm going to add one more, and that is truth, back together for the good of society?
Well, looking at what Sam had just sort of said of, you know, how we thought we got to this place in America today, you know, the fact that we've taken God out of government, we've taken God out of our schools, and when you look at truth and you look at what truth is, and it's in the Bible, you know, and we have all the laws in the world to enforce God's Ten Commandments. So what we need to do is in every level of government have people that are going to look to what the truth is and elect those individuals, whether it's your school board, to make sure that the curriculum that's being taught to our kids is really what the truth is, or whether it's our local government, our county government, our state or federal government. That's what it really comes down to, people that are willing to stand up and say, this is the truth, and apply that truth to the work they're doing, to the Constitution, you know, and uphold the Constitution in what we're doing. We don't need a government that's trying to define us. And you hear that a lot with people trying to divide us by trying to define us of who we are. It's more of trying to say and take a look and say, this is what the truth is. This is who we are. We're all God's children. We're all Americans. And let's start with that. Once we do that, I think that we're going to see a lot of I'll say truth and law and justice being brought back into our lives, our government, we will continue to be blessed even more than we have been.
And Congressman Keller, I want to compliment you on one thing that you're saying there, and I want to then go to Brother Denny to find out his response to it. But you, in what you're talking about with Eric's Law and raising it up, what you're just talking about right now is actually a reestablishment of the truth standard. Let's put it that way. You cited the Ten Commandments. I've talked about God as the author of truth. You just talked about that as well. When we raise up and say there is a standard, it's not me, it's not you, it's God, there is a major shift that can happen if we do that. Thank you for raising up that standard, which is exactly what you've been doing, and so God bless you so much. Brother Denny, from a pastoral perspective, you've been in a pastor for over 50 years. You've talked with a lot of men in office and women in office, just like Fred Keller here. And others, from your perspective, what could you just advise our listeners of right now of a simple thing that they can do? Very few people are in a congressional position like Congressman Fred Keller. Very few people are in the position of a pastor in the pulpit like you are. But what can they do in a simple approach to reestablish the truth standard and to further God's definition of law and justice? What would you say?
Well, we need to come back to the Word of God. Every believer who received Christ as Savior is a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are His workmanship created unto good works. We've referred to Romans chapter 13 a little bit, and it starts out, then let every soul be subject to the higher powers. And then we get to 1 Peter, and chapter 2, and it talks about being in submission to the government. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, and so forth. Verse 17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. We are being inundated with left-wing bias from the media, trying to pit police against citizens against the police. Since the first of the year, there have been over 130 police officers murdered in this country in the line of duty. The left wing, I've read an article where it talked about a shooting suspect said, I will die in the rear of the patrol car. If officers don't kill me, I will kill myself. That was totally uncalled for as a headline in the news. We get bombarded with this. We need to love the brotherhood. We need to fear God. We need to honor the king. We need to pray for those police officers who are enforcing the law. We've had so many incidents here locally in our area.
And we're going to jump right in here, Denny, because we are completely out of time.
We're out of time. Okay. I just wanted to mention they put their lives on the line.
Thank you so very, very much for being with us. Folks, we are delighted that you are with us today. We want to encourage you to stand for truth where you are. Keep looking up and remember, the best is yet to come.
If you like today's program, tell a friend. You'll also want to hear Stand in the Gap Weekend and watch the nationally syndicated Stand in the Gap TV program. We present the news of the day truthfully, carefully, and consistently from a biblical worldview and constitutional perspective. If you're hungry for the truth, visit standinthegapmedia.org to find all our programs and the stations that carry them. While you're there, be sure to download our free app and support this ministry with your best financial gift. Then join us again right here Monday through Friday for another program of Stand in the Gap Today.